And we are thankful for our children. We're thankful for parents, all the work that they put into their Christmas music. And we have been blessed by it. And I'm glad that you were here today. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And we're going to begin in the 46th verse. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him. And from generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me another moment as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts, how we praise you for this wonderful time of year, the opportunity to think of Jesus leaving heaven's throne and coming as a babe in a manger. Father, challenge us, teach us, move us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I don't know how you feel, but I love Christmas. I love the spirit. I love the fact that many people are uplifted. I love the joy that we see day to day. I love the fact that God in his amazing grace has done so much for us. I love Christmas. You know, while I love Christmas, and a lot of people do, this is a hard year for a lot of folks, a hard time of year for a lot of folks. It's a hard time for our world. You know, our world is really in a dilemma. I don't know if you've noticed what goes on this time of year. There are many people trying to quiet religion in Christmas. They're trying to move faith away from the season. And more they try to remove things that are of the miraculous and place in a celebration of fairy tale. And so we have a time of year that is filled with wonder, but they're trying to wonder at what it's filled with. Our economic survival, to a large part, depends on the spending of this time of year. So our world is in this dilemma. They want to remove Jesus from Christmas, but they want all the spending to be there for them to be able to survive. And so what you see happening before us, especially in these last years, is they have been building up the holiday, but lowering the fact that it has anything to do with Jesus. We can't let that happen. We've got to keep before people the reason for the season. We've got to keep people looking to Jesus. We've got to keep them knowing that the whole reason that things are given at Christmas is because God gave the greatest gift ever at Christmas. And so we come together at this wonderful time and we remember. You know, you go to the stores now and it's become regimented that everybody says Happy Holidays. I remember when I was growing up, it was always Merry Christmas. But they've tried to change because they want Jesus out. They want the material in. Happy Holidays. I can live with that. You know, if you've been here for a while, holidays mean what? Holy days. And so for somebody to say happy holy day to me, that's okay. They make signs and they take Jesus out, they take Christ out, and they put a big X, Xmas. Little do they know that the X is the Greek letter chi and has long stood for no one else but Jesus. They can't remove Jesus from the season because Jesus is the reason. They attack displays of the nativity because of the baby Jesus. They're offended by him. Yet at this time of year, you go into almost any store and you'll hear playing Christmas music. Many of those songs they play point straight to Jesus. And so, you know, I'm not offended by anybody saying happy holidays. I know many of them have to say it. They can't say anything else. This is what I try to do. Before they can wish me anything, I try to tell them Merry Christmas. If they are of heart and mind to do so, then they are free to answer me in the like manner. If they say happy holidays, then I take it as knowing that Jesus is the one that brings holiness to our land. Now, this is a time of songs. It's a time of music. It's one of the great reasons you need to be here this afternoon and hear our choir. My wife's favorite Christmas song we sang just a little while ago, Joy to the World. Think of it, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. One of the reasons we find it so easy to sing at Christmas is Christmas has a lot of music attached to it. If you read the Bible stories, you're going to see there's a lot of music there. G. Campbell Morgan said, Luke, the artist, has gathered and collected under his guidance of the Holy Spirit the stories which reveal the fact that when Jesus came into the world, poetry expressed itself and music was reborn. Did you know the very first Christmas songs in the New Testament are found in the Gospel of Luke? Yes, they are there. There's Elizabeth's song. Oh, what a song. It cries out to the glory of God, blessing Mary, being able to be the mother of Jesus. It challenges our hearts to think of the powerful blessing God has given us. And then after Elizabeth's song, there comes Mary's song, which we will talk about today. Oh, how Mary has been blessed, but how Mary has been blessed to be the mother of the child that is God. Nowhere in the Bible is music taken away. God's melody should fill our hearts. Elizabeth's song challenges us, encourages us. Mary's song, called the Magnificat, is truly magnificent, and it elevates Jesus. Zechariah's song, the Benedictus, comes next. And then Anna's song. You see, the good news of Christmas fills the air with music. So after Gabriel left Mary, she has to decide what to do. She wants to share the news, and yet she doesn't know if she can share the news. She doesn't know who to tell. Who should she go to? She could run to Joseph, but maybe it's not time to do that. And then it comes to our mind what the angel had told her. God has worked a miracle in Elizabeth. Elizabeth, her ancient cousin, is expecting a child. There's no way that could happen without God's intervention, without God's miracle. And so she thinks, I'll go and I'll see Elizabeth. She'll understand. You know, I understand that when women find that they are expecting and they're going to have a new life within them, often they get alongside of other women who have had children. And there in those little circles, they talk about what's going to take place. They talk about it because men know nothing. And you know what? I didn't include that know nothing about the birth. Women just think men know nothing. And so men are out of it pretty much, but women understand it. And so they're able to share together. And so she's going to go to Elizabeth, not only someone who is having a child, but someone who is having a miracle child. She does not run to her mom and dad. Actually, her mom and dad are not mentioned in Scripture. It's very likely that Mary was an orphan at 16. She goes to someone who would understand her, someone who would understand childbirth, someone that would understand miracles. She's going to go to Elizabeth because Elizabeth knew the power of God. Elizabeth would understand. If God could bring life to Elizabeth's dead womb, then God could bring the Messiah to her virgin womb. Both births are miraculous. The trip, 70 to 90 miles, somewhere in there, over 70 miles certainly, she would go. She certainly could do that. So Mary moved to see her cousin. It was a surprise. You know, she couldn't call ahead. She couldn't wire ahead. I don't know if they could do smoke signals, but that wouldn't work either. She just showed up. Now, this is risky. It's risky because Mary is going to the home of Elizabeth, who is married to Zacharias. Elizabeth is the daughter of the Aaronic priesthood, and Zechariah is a priest himself, had just done a marvelous work in the temple. And so she's going to the home of a priest and his wife, and normally, if someone not yet joined to someone in marriage, normally, if that person was found to have a child, they would be brought before a trial. The priest would conduct the trial, and they would be sentenced. And the sentencing could be to be stoned to death. Mary's putting herself at risk to go to her own cousin because her own cousin's marriage might move her to trial, might move her to death. Oh, but she knew God was working in Elizabeth's life. Elizabeth understood. Elizabeth would know. God would tell Elizabeth what needed to take place, and God would protect her. If God had placed his child in her, God was going to keep her safe. And so she went to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see Mary surrender. What is she going to say? How does she tell Elizabeth what is taking place? Can you imagine how she kind of rehearsed that in the 70 plus miles? What exactly how the words were going to come out and how she's going to say Gabriel had visited her and all that God had said. But before she can get anything out, Elizabeth spoke. In verse 42, and she spoke out with a loud voice. This is Elizabeth. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told from the Lord. God put everything into Elizabeth's view so Elizabeth would be able to greet Mary. You see, Mary's coming as a nobody to a somebody. She's coming as a person of no station to someone who is married to a priest home, and she's the daughter of a priest. Mary had no point of recognition, so she would have to come in humbly, and she did. And she would be the one to address Elizabeth first because she was coming as a guest, and she sought to. But Elizabeth spoke out first, having knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and shared with Mary comforting things. You see, God had Gabriel tell Zacharias that they were going to have a child and the Messiah was going to come. Elizabeth, knowing God's word, knew what was going to take place. God's Spirit filled her with understanding what was going on with Mary. The Holy Spirit prepared the way. I don't know what's going on in your life, but can I tell you, God can prepare the way. God can take care of you right where you are, no matter what's happening in your life. Something else happened when Mary came in. The baby, now about 6 months along, in Elizabeth, jumped for joy. Didn't just jump, but jumped for joy. What an amazing thing. At 6 months, John is about 14 inches tall. John weighs about a pound and a half. His bones would be almost solid. And at 6 months, he can have emotion. You know, as those women meet in those little groups and they talk about their babies and they talk about how they're going to behave and what they're going to do and how pregnancy is going to be, sometimes they'll talk about the baby moving. And at 6 months, the baby can move. And some say that it's like a butterfly. Some say that it's like tumbling. Some say, my baby's doing gymnastics. They certainly can tell. Now, it is not uncommon for a baby in the womb to be affected by the emotions of the mom. But it is uncommon for the mom to be affected by the emotions of the child. The scripture tells us that John leapt, and the word that is used means he leapt for joy. God's Holy Spirit let John the baby know what was going to happen, part of his role. He was the forerunner of Jesus, and he was joyful at knowing that the mother of Jesus was before him. Elizabeth knows what God is going to do. John knows what God is going to do. And by the greeting for Mary, Mary is comforted in what God is going to do. In verse 43, "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now, most mothers will ooh and ah at another baby. It's just what you do. And so when there's another baby, it's, oh, look at how cute they are, how precious they are. Oh, how sweet they are. They're so wonderful. They're so beautiful. And moms, especially new moms or moms-to-be, will be very gracious at complimenting the baby of another mom. But very seldom, if ever, will a new mom of a precious child elevate another child over their own. But that's exactly what Elizabeth does. She understands the roles. She understands that she is the mother of the forerunner John, and she understands very well, she understands that Mary is the mother of the Lord God. So Mary surrenders completely to what God is going to do. Then we see even something greater. We see Mary's salvation in verse 46 through 47. "And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." In these verses, we find some things out about Mary. We find out that Mary was not perfect. There is a wrong theology out there that teaches that Mary never sinned. Well, she must have sinned because she needed a Savior, according to her own words. All have sinned. Mary was just like the rest of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You have, I have, everybody you know has. Even that person that thinks they're perfect are not. All have sinned, all have fallen. Mary understood that she had sinned and she had fallen, and so she is praising the fact that the child that she is to give birth to is her Lord and her Savior. How wonderful that God would move to save a soul like Mary. God would bless her so much, and God would do things in her that could not be done. Though Jesus had not spoken the words yet, what she is saying is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And she begins her song magnifying the Lord. She has had a one-on-one experience with God. She knows God's ability. She knows God's power. She knows she should not be having a baby. She knows she is a virgin, that virgins don't have babies. And yet she knows God has visited her, and she will have this child. She magnified God because he was greater than anything she could have ever imagined. Shouldn't that be our spirit of Christmas? When we come to the fact that God on his throne came from his throne and humbled himself from the one who put it all together, the one that created the world, humbled himself to be a baby that had to be taken care of, to be a baby that had to have diapers changed, to be a baby in a humble home where his first bed was straw. Yes, she could magnify the Lord. God is greater. I don't know what your problem is. You've got them. I've got them. Everybody's got them. Some people get together and they talk about their problems. Some people play the game. My problem's bigger than your problem. That's a Baptist game, but I think other people play it. You know, my need's greater than your need. Sometimes we have prayer sessions, but they're not really prayer sessions. There's, I can give you a prayer need that's bigger than your prayer need. Whatever your problem, and no matter how great it is, can't you understand? Christmas says God is greater. God can handle it. If God in his mercy could give this young girl a child when she was a virgin, had never had sex, knew that she should not be having this child biologically, and yet God had allowed it to happen and made it happen. She rejoices in song. Because what God has done, eight times, if you read through this, eight times she's in awe of what God has done. She knows God's word. Now, she's a teenage girl, but apparently she's been going to youth group, and she understands the Bible, and she's heard the Bible, and she's sucked it in and gotten the Bible as part of her life. And so she quotes, listen, 15 times she quotes 1 Samuel 2. She knows her Bible. By the way, that's Hannah's song, a new mom's song. She quotes from the book of Psalms, the book of songs. Mary didn't have an iPhone. She couldn't connect herself to iTunes. But let me tell you, she was in tune with God's word. And Mary could have joy because she believed what God says in his word. Would you just believe what God says in his word? Now, you got to know what God says in his word to believe it. But if you'd start believing what God says in his word, you would be amazed at what God can do in your life. She sings of God's mercy. I want you to understand that she understood she did not deserve this child. Hey, moms, you understand that you don't deserve your child either, don't you? That's a blessing that none of us deserve. It is a miracle of God every time a child is born, and certainly this child was a great miracle of God. It was a move of God's mercy. In verse 49, she sings of God's might. He would use all his love, all of his power to bring his son into the world. But his son would go to a cross and die for your sins and mine. Mary was a believer. Mary was saved, trusting in the child that she would bear to be her Savior and take away her sins. And then we say Mary's solicitation in verse 50. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. God's willing to give his mercy to everybody that will receive him. God's willing to give his mercy to you. Now understand, grace is when God does for you what you cannot do for yourself. Mercy is when God does not do to you what you really deserve. I need God's grace, and oh, how I need his mercy. I am so thankful that God acts toward us in a way we don't deserve. Because, my friend, what we really deserve is the devil's hell, and Jesus came so we would not have to have that, and that is mercy. In verses 51 through 53, Mary tells of three groups of people that can receive mercy. There is the helpless, the humble, and the hungry. If you find yourself in any one of those, then mercy is there for you. When you realize you're a sinner, you can do nothing for yourself. I have sinned in my life. I can't undo it. I can't go back and do it again. Most of us that have a brain would change things that we have done wrong if we had a chance to go back and redo it. I don't understand these turkeys that say, well, if I had to live my life over, I'd do it exactly the same way. That's foolishness. No, my friend, if I started over again, there's so many things that I would seek to change. But I can't do that. What I can't do makes me helpless. I am helpless to get rid of any of my sin. I am helpless to move forward with the weight of my sin. I am helpless to accomplish anything worthwhile. Oh, but where I am helpless, he is the supplier of needs and power, and he can fulfill my greatest needs, and he can take my worthless life and use it for his worth. When you get to the point that you realize you can't do it on your own, you realize you aren't able, when you realize that you need God, oh, my friend, you are there where mercy can be found. When you are hungry. Now, I know you guys know what it is to be hungry. Some of you are checking your phone to see if it's time to eat. You know, to have a hunger in your heart, though, is a bit different. When you begin to understand how worthless you are, and you begin to understand how wonderful God is, and you become hungry for his righteousness and hungry to be right with God and hungry to have God move in your life and hungry just to have God do something in the lives of others. If that's you, you're in the spot where mercy can be found. Mary sings of God's faithfulness to Israel. She tells how God has moved in Israel. Israel did not deserve it. Israel didn't deserve anything. But she let them know that God would move on their behalf. You just have to humble yourself. You have to be willing to understand you are not all that. But he is. You know, Mary is beginning to understand that out of all the women that has ever lived, out of all the women that was living then, out of all the women that would ever live, God had gifted her the Messiah. Oh, how humble spirited she was. How she knew she was not worth that. But God had blessed her in his mercy. Can you put yourself in Mary's shoes? Oh no, you're not going to have the Messiah. But out of all the people that have ever lived, out of all the people that are living now, out of all the people that will ever live, God chose to bring his message of salvation to me, to you. That you might humbly ask God to move in your heart and to forgive your sins and to save your soul, and Jesus becomes a part of you on the inside of you. God gives us that chance in his mercy, just like God worked in Mary. Her testimony, her song, solicits all that are willing to come to Jesus and be saved. Today, if you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, you don't really know what Christmas is about. Oh, you may think you have an idea, but you haven't really experienced it yourself. To be able to be hungry for the things of God, hungry and know that you need God, to be knowing that you are helpless and you can't do anything about it on yourself, and humbly you come before God and say, oh Lord, would you come into my heart? Would you forgive my sins? Would you save my soul? That's Christmas. What are you going to do? If you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, come to him now. If you know Jesus as your Savior, humbly bow before him and ask him to show his mercy and his glory in your life. He's got a plan for you, just like he had a plan for Mary. But he can only do it if we humble ourselves to him. Would you be willing to do that today? Maybe you just want to come and pray at the altar. You don't have to say a word to me. Talk to Jesus. You need a church home? We can help you with that. Come to let me know. If you don't have Jesus, just come and say, I need Jesus. And today, Jesus will enter your heart. God calls to you. It's your time to respond. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, I ask now that you would move in our hearts. Father, I know that there are people listening right now that need Jesus so much. Father, I pray that they would open their heart, they would allow Jesus to come into their heart to save their soul, and then they would tell somebody. I pray, Father, for believers that are here, Father. I pray that we would understand the marvelous thing you have done for us, the mercy you have bestowed on us, the challenge, Father, that is before us. Oh God, that we would serve you with all of our hearts, that we would change our attitudes toward you, and we would let you be Lord of all, knowing if you could take a humble servant girl, Mary, and she could become the mother of Christ, you can work a miracle in our lives that we might serve you and see your glory. Work within us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, would you come?